He bounced up and stared at me wild. Then he drops down on his knees and puts his hands together and says, "Don't hurt me, don't. I ain't never done no harm to a ghost. I allus liked dead people, and I done all I could for 'em. You go and get in that river again where you belongs, and don't do nothing to old Jim that is allus your friend." Well, I warn't long making him understand I warn't dead. I was ever so glad to see Jim. I warn't lonesome now. I told him I warn't afraid of him telling the people where I was. I talked along, but he only sat there and looked at me, never said nothing. Then I says, "It's good daylight. Let's get breakfast. Make up your campfire good." "What's the use of making up the campfire to cook strawberries in sich truck? But you got a gun, hain't you? Then we can get something better than strawberries." "Strawberries in sich truck," I says, "is that what you live on?" "I couldn't get nothing else," he says. "Why, how long you been on the island, Jim?" "I come here the night arter you's killed."
"What, all that time?"
"Yes, indeedy."
"And ain't you had nothing but that kind of rubbish to eat?"
"No, sir, nothing else."
"Well, you must be most starved, ain't you?"
"I reckon I could eat a horse. I think I could."
"How long you been on the island?"
"Since night I got killed."
"No. Why, where does you lived on?"
"But you got a gun."
"Oh, yes, you got a gun. That's good. Now you kill something and I'll make up the fire."
So we went over to where the canoe was, and while he built a fire in a grassy open place amongst the trees, I fetched meal and bacon and coffee and coffee pot and frying pan and sugar and tin cups, and the nigger was set back considerable because he reckoned it was all done with witchcraft. I catched a good big catfish, too, and Jim cleaned him with his knife and fried him. When breakfast was ready, we lolled on the grass and ate it smoking hot. Jim laid it in with all his might, for he was most about starved. Then when we got pretty well stuffed, we laid off and lazied. By and by, Jim says, "Looky here, Huck. Who was it that is killed in that shanty if it warn't you?" Then I told him the whole thing, and he said it was smart. He said Tom Sawyer couldn't get up no better plan than what I had. Then I says, "How do you come to be here, Jim, and how'd you get here?" He looked pretty uneasy and didn't say nothing for a minute. Then he says, "Maybe I better not tell."
"Why, Jim?"
"Well, dey's reasons."
"But you wouldn't tell on me if I was to tell you, would you, Huck?"
"Blamed if I would, Jim."
"Well, I believe you, Huck. I run off."
"Jim!
But mind, you said you wouldn't tell. You know you said you wouldn't tell, Huck."
"Well, I did.
I said I wouldn't, and I'll stick to it. Honest Injun, I will. People would call me a low-down abolitionist and despise me for keeping mum, but that don't make no difference. I ain't a-going to tell, and I ain't a-going back there anyways. So now, let's know all about it."
"Well, you see, it is this way. Old Mrs., that's Miss Watson, she pecks on me all the time and treats me pretty rough, but she allus said she wouldn't sell me down to Orleans. But I noticed there was a nigger trade around the place considerable lately, and I begin to get uneasy. Well, one night I creeps to the door pretty late, and the door warn't quite shut, and I hear old Mrs. tell the widow she gwine to sell me down to Orleans, but she didn't want to, but she could get $800 for me, and it is such a big stack of money she couldn't resist. The widow, she tried to get her to say she wouldn't do it, but I never waited to hear the rest. I lit out mighty quick, I tell you. I tuck out and shin down the hill and spec to steal a skiff along the shore somewhere above the town, but they was people a-stirring yet, so I hid in the old tumble-down cooper shop on the bank to wait for everybody to go away. Well, I was there all night. There was somebody round all the time. Long about 6 in the morning, skiffs begin to go by, and about 8 or 9, every skiff that went long was talking about how your pap come over to the town and say you's killed. These last skiffs was full of ladies and gentlemen a-going over for to see the place. Sometimes they'd pull up at the shore and take a rest before they started across, so by the talk I got to know all about the killing. I's powerful sorry you's killed, Huck, but I ain't no more now. I laid there under the shavings all day. I's hungry, but I warn't afeared, because I knowed old Mrs. and the widow was going to start to the camp meeting right out of breakfast and be gone all day. And they knows I goes off with the cattle by daylight, so they wouldn't expect to see me round the place, and so they wouldn't miss me till arter dark in the evening. The other servants wouldn't miss me 'cause they'd shin out and take holiday soon as the old folks is out of the way.
Well, when it come dark, I tuck out up the river road and went about 2 mile or more to where there warn't no houses. I'd made up my mind about what I was going to do. You see, if I kept on trying to get away afoot, the dogs would track me. If I stole a skiff to cross over, they'd miss that skiff, you see, and then they'd know about where I'd land on the other side and where to pick up my track. So I says a raft is what I's arter. It don't make no track. I see a light a-comin' round the pine by and by, so I wade in and shove a log ahead of me and swum more'n halfway across the river and got in amongst the driftwood and kept my head down low and kinder swum again the current till the raft come along. Then I swum to the stern of it and took a holt. It clouded up and was pooty dark for a little while. So I climb up and lay down on the planks. The men is all way yonder in the middle where the lantern was. The river was a-rising and they was a good current. So I reckoned that by 4 in the morning I'd be 25 mile down the river and then I'd slip in just before daylight and swim ashore and take to the woods on the Illinois side. But I didn't have no luck. When we is most down to the head of the island, a man begun to come aft with the lantern. I see it warn't no use for the weight. So I slid overboard and struck out for the island. Well, I had a notion I could land most anywheres, but I couldn't. Bank too bluff. I was most to the foot of the island before I found a good place. I went into the woods and judged I wouldn't fool with rafts no more long as they moved the lantern round so. I had my pipe and a plug of dog leg and some matches in my cap, and they weren't wet, so I was all right. And so you ain't had no meat nor bread to eat all this time? Why didn't you get mud turkles? How you gwine to get 'em? You can't slip up on 'em and grab 'em. And how's a body gwine to hit 'em with a rock? How could a body do it in the night? And I weren't gwine to show myself on the bank in the daytime. Well, that's so. You've had to keep in the woods all the time, of course. Did you hear 'em shooting the cannon? Oh, yes, I know they was arter you. I seen 'em go by here. Watched 'em through the bushes. Some young birds come along, flying a yard or two at a time and lighting. Jim said it was a sign it was going to rain. He said it was a sign when young chickens flew that way, and so he reckoned it was the same way when young birds done it. I was going to catch some of them, but Jim wouldn't let me. He said it was death. He said his father laid mighty sick once, and some of them catched a bird, and his old granny said his father would die, and he did. And Jim said you mustn't count the things you're going to cook for dinner, because that would bring bad luck. The same if you shook the tablecloth after sundown. And he said if a man owned a beehive and that man died, the bees must be told about it before sun up next morning, or else the bees would all weaken down and quit work and die. Jim said bees wouldn't sting idiots. But I didn't believe that because I'd tried them lots of times myself and they wouldn't sting me. I'd heard about some of these things before, but not all of them. Jim knowed all kinds of signs. He said he knowed most everything. I said it looked to me like all the signs was about bad luck, so I asked him if there weren't any good luck signs. He says, mighty few, and they ain't no use to a body. What you want to know when good luck's a-coming for? Want to keep it off? And he said, if you's got hairy arms and a hairy breast, it's a sign that you's a-gwine to be rich. Well, they's some use in a sign like that, case it's so fur ahead. You see, maybe you's got to be poor a long time first, and so you might get discouraged and kill yourself if you didn't know by the sign that you gwine to be rich by and by. Have you got hairy arms and a hairy breast, Jim? What's the use to ask that question, don't you see I has? Well, are you rich? No, but I've been rich once and gwine to be rich again. Once I had $14, but I took to speculating and got busted out. What did you speculate in, Jim? Well, first I tackled stock. What kind of stock? Why, livestock. Cattle, you know. I put $10 in a cow. But I ain't gwine to risk no more money in stock. The cow up and died on my hands. So you lost the $10. No, I didn't lose it at all. I only lost about 9 of it. I sold the hide and tallow for $1.10. You had $5.10 left. Did you speculate any more? Yes. You know that one-legged nigger that belongs to old Mr. Bradish? Well, he sought up a bank and say anybody to put in $1 would get $4 more at the end of the year. Well, all the niggers went in, but they didn't have much. So I stuck out for more than $4 and said if I didn't get it, I'd start a bank myself. Well, of course, that nigger wanted to keep me out of the business, because he said they want business enough for two banks, so he say I could put in my $5 and he'd pay me $35 at the end of the year. So I done it. Then I reckon I'd invest the $35 right off and keep things a-moving. There was a nigger named Bob that had catched a wood flat, and his master didn't know it. And I bought it off'n him and told him to take the $35 when the end of the year come. But somebody stole the wood flat that night. And next day, the one-legged nigger say the bank's busted. So they didn't none of us get no money. What did you do with the 10 cents, Jim? Well, I was going to spend it, but I had a dream. And the dream told me to give it to a nigger named Balaam. Balaam's ass, they call him for short. He's one of them chuckleheads, you know. But he's lucky, they say. And I see I warn't lucky. The dream say let Balaam invest the 10 cents and he make a raise for me. Well, Balaam, he took the money, and when he was in church, he heard the preacher say that whoever give to the poor, lend to the Lord, and bound to get his money back 100 times. So Balaam, he took and give the 10 cents to the poor, and laid low to see what was going to come of it. Well, what did come of it, Jim? Nothing ever come of it. I couldn't manage to collect that money no way. And Balaam, he couldn't. I ain't going to lend no more money that I see the security. Bound to get your money back 100 times, the preacher says. If I could get the 10 cents back, I'd call it square and be glad of the chance. Well, it's all right anyway, Jim, long as you're going to be rich again sometime or other. Yes, and I's rich now, come to look at it. I owns myself, and I's worth $800. I wished I had the money. I wouldn't want no more.